Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, my rapid reaction to a pretty devastating loss to the LA Chargers. The Steelers lose 30-33 on Sunday Night Football. Not just a devastating loss because the Steelers have now lost two in a row, but the Steelers were up 23-7 at halftime in this one. They looked fantastic offensively, putting up big points, and looked like they were going to blow the doors off this one in the second half. Looked like this was going to be another dominating performance, another impressive win, the likes of which we saw on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago against the Carolina Panthers. And instead, in the second half of this game, they were outscored 26-7, the first time the Steelers have ever lost a game at home after being up by more than 14 points. And this was really a tale of two halves. In the second half, really nothing could go right for this football team. It certainly removes the Steelers from any consideration for the bye week. Now, I mean, the three seed in the AFC is probably forgotten as well, right? I mean, the bye week would take a miracle. You would need the Texans and Patriots to basically collapse from this point forward. They're unlikely to lose enough games to get the Steelers back into it. The Steelers play the Patriots a couple weeks from now so they can get themselves back in it that way. But again, the Patriots have so many easy games left. And the problem for the Steelers is they play the Patriots in a couple weeks. I mean, they don't have gimmies left on their schedule. They've got the Saints coming, they go to New Orleans the week following. So they've got a tough schedule. There's just no way this team's getting a bye week or even the three seed in the AFC. This loss also opens the door now in the AFC North. The Ravens certainly enter themselves back into that picture, as the Ravens have now won three straight. They're 7-5. The Steelers are now just a half game ahead at 7-4-1. So that race could certainly go down to the wire now this season. But this game against the Chargers was really about two things going in, right? Number one, of course, the Steelers needed to get back on track after what was a silly loss to the Broncos a week ago. A lot of silly things happened in that game. The Steelers wanted to kind of course correct in this one, have a good win against the Chargers, get this season back on track. But they also, this was kind of a barometer game for the Steelers, right? For us Steelers fans, we got a glimpse into seeing how the Steelers matched up against one of the best teams in the NFL. Offensively, we were going to see if this offense could put up the big numbers it's going to take to compete in games like this, games that are played in the 30s and 40s. And, you know, it requires an offense that is consistently putting up big points. We're also going to see defensively. Look, we've talked a lot about this defense over the past 6 weeks and how impressive they've been. Certainly their pass rush has been much better. They've been much better about communicating in the secondary, not getting beat deep, not giving up big plays. Would that hold up against a offense like the LA Chargers have? Can they get consistent pressure on the quarterback? Can they get stops in pivotal moments? Look, the Steelers didn't come away with a win in this one, but we did get answers to a lot of those questions, and that's what we're going to talk about today on the show. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button to get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button, or you can join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And let's start today with the injury report coming out of this game against the LA Chargers. This was a tough one from an injury perspective. Of course, going in, it was tough, right? I mean, Gilbert was going to miss again. Bud had the pectoral injury, although he was able to play through it. Morgan Burnett was not able to go. I mean, the Steelers came into this one with a number of injuries, and they're coming out of this one with quite a few more. Anthony Ciccolo, the outside linebacker, had an ankle injury. Ryan Switzer, the wide receiver, suffered a concussion or is in the concussion protocol coming out of this one. Running back James Conner has a lower leg contusion, although that may be an ankle sprain even. We'll see when Tomlin talks on Tuesday how bad that injury is. Justin Hunter suffered a shoulder injury, seems to be a significant shoulder injury for Justin Hunter. And then Cameron Kennedy, the long snapper, has a knee sprain. That one can be weird. I mean, he was able to play, and so he played through it. Now we'll see if it gets any worse over the next couple days, and Tomlin will update us on Tuesday. But losing your long snapper, never good. And you got to wonder if the Steelers are going to have to make a roster move there to bring in someone if Kennedy is injured in any significant kind of way. But again, five Steelers potentially added to the injury report after this loss to the LA Chargers. Hey, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about MyBookie. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay on MyBookie. Pick three teams to win. If you hit all three, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on right now. Of course, college basketball just started. The NFL season continuing the college football season, now moving into bowl season. The NBA is underway, NHL as well. They've got custom props, even esports, you name it. MyBookie got it all. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. If you sign up this week, MyBookie is going to give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. And make sure you follow them on Twitter, at BetMyBookie. They personally respond to every mention and DM. Not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. So don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. And then let's get to my rapid reaction of the Steelers' loss to the LA Chargers. Another weird game following up the weird loss to the Denver Broncos. You have an even stranger game against the LA Chargers. I guess we have to start with the officiating, right? I mean, that is going to be the storyline for every Steeler fan today, and I'm not going to ignore it. We'll get this out of the way early. I don't want to spend the entire podcast today talking about the officiating, although we probably could because of how bad it was. It was a story in the game. I'm not sure for me it was the story coming out of this one. Tomlin certainly wasn't happy about the officiating coming out of this game, and I can't blame him. It was a poorly officiated game. There's no other way to put that one. You start with the missed false start, an obvious false start call, and I don't know how they missed this one, but it's not the first time that the LA Chargers have scored a touchdown after one of their players committed an obvious false start and the officials missed it. It happened like a month ago when they played the Cleveland Browns. And by the way, the official that missed that call was subsequently fired by the NFL. Now, I'm not saying the same is going to happen to any official that officiated this game, but you can't really argue, right? Because there was also a block in the back on the punt return touchdown. That's 14 points that the Chargers got in this game on plays that had pretty clear penalties that were not called. Obvious penalties, not called. And the offsides on the game winner, right? The game-winning kick, the first one, or the second two were definitely offsides. And we'll get to special teams penalties here in a second. But on the first one, they called offsides. Now, they called it on Joe Hayden. Certainly, Joe Hayden was not offsides. Now, maybe some other player had gotten into the neutral zone earlier or gone early. I didn't see it on the replays that NBC showed, but I'll go back and rewatch and see. But from where I'm sitting, they called it on Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden absolutely 100% onside on the missed field goal, the first one in what would become three attempts at that game winner. Here's the thing. Here's my problem with talking about the officiating and going on and on about the officiating. Those things we talked about, all the officiating, all the bad calls and all that, that's not in the Steelers' control. They cannot control the officiating. They cannot control what the bad calls are and any of that. And so, to spend today just talking about the officiating and really just ranting about the officiating, it's hard for me because what is the point? Yes, the officiating was bad in this game. Did it change the outcome of the game? I mean, I think at best you can say it changed the complexion of the game, right? I mean, the worst thing you could say is it changed the outcome. But at best you can say it changed the complexion. Because I think this Steeler team was out and rolling early. And if the Chargers never get that early touchdown, we're talking about a 23-0 lead at halftime. The punt return touchdown was a huge momentum swing in the game. The Steelers' defense never really recovered from that point. But here we talked about this kind of stuff last week in reviewing the game against Denver, right? A lot of stuff that wasn't in the Steelers' control. Or a lot, not necessarily not in their control, but a lot of weird things happening in that one, right? We talked about not being result-oriented, and so the Steelers putting themselves in winning position. And if you put yourself in winning position more often than not, you should win those football games, right? And I don't want to rehash all of that. Again, I do want to talk today, though, about the things that happened in this game that were under the Steelers' control. I think ultimately the Steelers in this game, did they play well? Did they play well enough to win? Probably, yes, they did. I think the officiating really hurt them in a lot of spots, but they certainly could have played better, and they certainly could have played well enough to really blow out the Chargers, which is what should have been the result of this football game. And that's really what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about today, is the things that were under the Steelers' control. Why did this team get so close in the end? It wasn't all the officiating. So let's start with the defensive performance in the second half. Because the defensive performance in the first half was terrific. I mean, as I said, if they call the offsides there, potentially the Steelers are pitching a shutout in the first half. And it was in no small part because of guys like LJ Fort and the Steelers mixing up schematically and really taking Bostic off the field and saying this is going to be an LJ Fort type of game. The dominating presence of Stephon Tuitt back out there in that front seven with TJ Watt and Bud Dupree, and really getting to Phillip Rivers and wreaking havoc in the backfield there, shutting down running lanes. Eckler really had nothing going on. Really, the entire Chargers running game had nothing going on in that first half. In fact, the Chargers' offensive output in the first half was really just the touchdown play down the sideline where they beat Mike Hilton. Other than that, the Chargers really didn't have a lot of sustained success down the football field. And all of the things that we've been talking about with this defense over the past month, and really, the past month plus, about how good they are at tackling now, about how good they are in the front seven and getting pressure, about how good they are about not getting beat deep down the football field. All of that was on display in the first half. If you take away the false start play, this was a terrific performance against a terrific offense, the kind of thing we wanted to see. Could this offense put up a performance like that? And they did so in the first half, and I think we were all very, very impressed. I was saying at halftime, I'm ready to become a believer in this defense. But then the second half happened, and it was night and day, and it felt like as soon as the momentum shifted against this football team, and especially against the defense, the Chargers could do no wrong, and they were moving the ball down the field however they wanted to, run the ball, pass the ball, get it to Eckler out of the backfield, get Jackson in there, running through Steelers. Keenan Allen had a monster day. 13 catches in the 14 catches for 148. It was so easy for the Chargers to move the ball in the second half. And again, I think a lot of that was because, I don't want to say it was effort, but you felt like once the momentum swung away, you weren't seeing the kind of effort plays that you were seeing. You were seeing a Steeler defense that was playing on their heels a little bit more. You were seeing them play a little more timid. And we'll talk about the coaching staff here in a second, but I think the coaching staff did not put this Steeler defense in position to make plays down the stretch. Defensively in the second half, it was the kind of thing we all worried about coming in, which was, this defense just giving up play after play after play, going, again, the Chargers being able to move the ball so easily. It's the kind of thing you worry about the Patriots being able to do here in a couple weeks. The same thing the Saints are going to do the following week. The special teams penalties in this game, and I'm not talking about the offsides, although that's pretty much become, the Steelers are being mocked for that all over the internet, and I guess rightfully so, right? Your game-winning field goal, and you have three consecutive offsides penalties. Two of them were legitimate. The second two were legitimate. But the first one, I don't know. Again, I'll have to watch that one again. But I'm not even talking about the offsides. I'm talking about, for whatever reason, every time we have any sort of punt return or a kick return that matters in this game or in any game, there's a holding call, there's a block in the back, there's some sort of penalty to make what should be a drive that starts at, the 20, 25, and the Steelers are starting back at their own 10, they're starting back at their own 15. The special teams has consistently all year put the Steelers behind the numbers when we talk about field position. Consistently. The Steelers special teams leads the league in penalties against, and it's not even particularly close. The second highest team is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have 20 penalties against them, against their special teams. The Steelers have 24. They lead it by 4 at this point. Again, we talk about how important field position is when you have a high-powered offense like the Steelers. If you give this offense good field position, if we're consistently starting past the 30, well, then you're talking about just needing a couple first downs to get yourself in field goal range. But when this offense is consistently starting at the 15 and or even worse, then you're talking about this team, having to convert third down after third down. I mean, they've done that this year to their credit. But in games like this, where we, again, had special team penalty after special team penalty, it wasn't able to happen, especially you look at the third quarter, you look at the second half drive chart. There it was. There it was for you to see. The Steelers were able to move the ball in some of those drives. Seven plays, 20, 30 yards. But they weren't in field goal range, right? They were barely even at midfield. And really, the problem for me coming out of this one, the story for me coming out of this football game is the missed opportunities. The missed opportunities offensively are killing this team right now. This is a league all about scoring big points consistently, scoring big points, 30, 40 points a game. That's what the top offenses are doing week in and week out. That's what the top teams in the NFL are doing week in and week out. But when you have right now, when you have a team that last week couldn't hit Juju on a wide open touchdown, couldn't hit James Washington on a wide open touchdown, or James Washington couldn't come down with that one. Justin Hunter in this game can't hit him. How Ben Roethlisberger, a 15-year pro, can't hit Justin Hunter on a wide open touchdown. There's no one within 10, 15 yards of him. And we're not talking about a guy who doesn't have rapport with Justin Hunter or anything like that. This is not about having rapport. This is not about hitting a back shoulder, a timing route, anything like that. This is a guy with no one covering him, and you just gotta float it in there and let him come down underneath it. And instead, Ben Roethlisberger felt like he had to put that one on a rope. I don't understand it. I don't understand the throw from Ben. I don't understand how you can't complete that pass, but it's the kind of thing that leads to 33-30. The interception of Vance McDonald, same thing. You're turning the ball over in scoring position. We're talking about a football team that has to be consistently putting up in the 30s and in the 40s week after week if they're going to win these football games. And so when you're leaving what was 7 points on the Justin Hunter touchdown, I guess it's 4 because they got the field goal on that drive. You're leaving at least 3 points out there by throwing the interception to Vance McDonald. And by the way, I don't know what Ben was looking at on that play. I know Collinsworth claimed that it was some sort of disguised coverage and maybe he didn't see Derwin James. How did he not see Derwin James? I would love to watch that play on the All-22 to see what Ben saw. But from the replays that NBC showed, that looked like just a very silly throw from Ben Roethlisberger, a careless throw from Ben Roethlisberger. The offense can't have those things. Those are the kind of things that turn the weird plays, the weird calls, the oh my god, they missed a false start and the Chargers got a touchdown. They turn those plays from weird plays into the game deciding plays, into the reasons why the Steelers lost this football game. We're not talking about the false start play right now if they hit Justin Hunter for a touchdown, if they don't throw that interception to Vance McDonald. Points on the board for the Steelers. If this team had scored 40, they win this football game. I mean, you can even go back to the Boswell missed extra point. That cost the Steelers 3 points in this game. I know it cost them one from missing it, but it also kept the game at 2 scores. So instead of going up 17, they're up 16. And when they're up 16, the Chargers now have an opportunity to go for two twice. And they did, and they converted both of them. They would not have gone for two on either of those times. So the Chargers got 2 extra points by going for two and making it. And the Steelers missed an extra point. It's a 3-point turnaround there just by missing an extra point. These are the kind of silly things that come back to bite you. And these are the things that are consistent for the Steelers. Boswell, consistently shaky all year. The Steelers consistently leaving points out there offensively. Easy points. Again, I'm not talking about, it was a 50-50 ball and a guy should have come down with it or anything like that. I'm talking about hitting guys who are wide open in coverage. You have broken down coverage. You have schematically put yourself in a situation to score a easy touchdown and you can't come down with it. In this NFL, in the NFL where it's all about scoring in the 30 and 40s, that's going to cost you. It cost the Steelers last week. They could have won that game against Denver if they convert those plays last week. They could have won this game against San Diego or L.A., if they convert these plays. You have the defensive mismatches. You know, we talked about the defensive performance in the second half. How frustrating was it to watch a guy like Keenan Allen consistently feast on Steeler linebackers? And it felt like it was all game long. Now I'll have to go back and watch the All-22 and see just how often the Chargers were able to get that matchup. But it felt like they could get it whenever they wanted it. It started on the first play of the game. Keenan Allen was covered by Bud Dupree. That's the first play of the game. Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin, you're able to go out there and look, Keenan Allen was the guy the Steelers had to shut down in this game. he was going to be the Chargers' primary target. You look at their best receivers this year. It's Keenan Allen. It's Melvin Gordon, who didn't play in this football game. And then Austin Eckler, their backup running back. It was very clearly going to be a Keenan Allen type of game for the Chargers. And so play one, how are we covering Keenan Allen? We're putting a linebacker on him. Easy completion for the Chargers. And then you go to the last meaningful play the Chargers had. The 3rd and 4 that got them into field goal range on the last drive. Who's covering Keenan Allen? It's John Bostic in what I'm pretty sure was man-to-man coverage. John Bostic, an inside linebacker who has no business covering any wide receiver, much less Keenan Allen, one of the smooth before the game and all that. I mean, one of the best wide receivers in the league. John Bostic covering Keenan Allen on the biggest defensive play of the game. Are you kidding me, Keith Butler? Are you kidding me, Mike Tomlin? And not just covering him man-to-man. What do you expect to happen? I mean, those are just two examples, but it felt like it was happening all day. Wide receivers being covered by linebackers has been a problem, not just this week. It's been a problem all year. And they haven't really paid for it yet. They hadn't paid for it yet going into this one. But they hadn't played a team like the Chargers either. They hadn't faced a quarterback wide receiver combo like Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen. They did now, and they made him pay. Again, Keenan Allen, 14 catches, 148 and a touchdown. 14 catches on 19 targets. That he was going to be their number one target. I don't understand defensively how the Steelers felt like they were putting themselves in any sort of advantageous position in those moments. That there's even a chance in some of those formations that a linebacker like John Bostic could be matched up against a guy like Keenan Allen. Unbelievable. And then we also got to talk about the running game. Because the Steelers continue to have trouble defending the run in big moments because they continue to have to be, whatever it is, scared or just unwilling to come out of sub-package defense against base. I mean, they're getting run on. We can't use the excuse of, well, Tua's not in there. When Tua comes back, we'll be fine. Can't use that excuse now. Tua's back in. Tua was in this game, and they played well in the first half. But in the second half, not quite. And when you're, look, I think LJ Fort had a terrific game, and I think LJ Fort's a real asset to this football team. But when the Steelers are running dime like that, and you've got your essentially your small personnel out there, teams are going to run on you. And that's what the Chargers realized in the second half. They said, look, we can run against the Steelers in dime. Let's do that. And they didn't have to run against the Steelers in dime in 3 and 4 wide receiver formations because, again, the Steelers were unwilling to come out of that when the Chargers went to base. And so it became easy for the Chargers to run the football late in this game. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to have the Steelers lose the two games that they've done because I don't think they've played poorly in these two games. They've certainly had their moments where they missed opportunities, and that's what we're talking about today. But the Steelers, they went out there and they took on the Chargers head on and they had their chances to win this football game. They should have won this game. They should have killed them. They should have blown them out. We should be talking about a Steelers blowout today similar to the Panthers game a couple weeks back. Forget the penalties, forget the missed calls, forget all of that. I mean, those might have cost the Steelers this game, right? I mean, as I said, at best, they changed the complexion of the game. Those aren't in the Steelers' control. They won't be the difference between this team winning the Super Bowl, losing the Super Bowl, the playoff run they're about to go on. The things we talked about today, that will be a difference maker because it was today. It was in this game. Leaving those easy points on the field, giving up easy defensive mismatches, their inability to stop the run or adjust to it. It's not all bad. As I said, it's not all bad. This wasn't a team that was totally incompetent. They didn't go out there and lay an egg or anything like that. They did a lot of nice things tonight. Ben to AB was terrific. As I said, LJ Fort was great in this game, and I love to see LJ Fort getting this much playing time. I thought Villanueva and Filer, for the majority of the game, did a very nice job of shutting down Bosa and Ingram. This wasn't a game all about, you know, Ben being under duress. There's a lot of nice things. There's a lot of things to like about this game. But I'm not grading this team in its place amongst the 32 other teams in the league because clearly this is this Steeler team is far superior to the vast majority of the NFL. I'm grading it amongst the 5 to 7 best teams in the NFL. Is this team on the Rams level? Is it on the Saints level? Is it on the Chiefs level, the Patriots, all of those teams, the Chargers even, right? That's what we wanted to see tonight. Right now, if you're trying to say where are the Steelers in that mix of the best teams in the NFL, I think they're barely there. I think they're just barely there. They competed with the Chargers. They should have won the game. They should have blown them out, but they didn't. And we can sit here and say, well, it's just weird. It's a weird game. And part of me wants to get on here and just say that again, right? Part of me wants to get on here and do the same podcast I did against Denver and say, look, 9 times out of 10, you play this football game and it's not poorly officiated like that. And they go on to win the game. But here we are, and the problems that the Steelers had against Denver remain the same. I'm not talking about the fact that the problems are, you know, the weirdness that happened against Denver and then the officiating in this one. I'm talking about missed opportunities. I'm talking about defensive mismatches. I'm talking about their inability to stop the run in big moments, to get stops in big moments. That's the problem here. Those are the problems over the past 2 weeks. So, you know, can this team bounce back? Can they compete against New England? Can they compete against New Orleans in these coming weeks? Of course they can. Of course they can. I don't think they're getting blown out by New England. I don't think they're getting, I mean, maybe they get blown out by New Orleans because it's in New Orleans, but we'll talk about that stuff when we get there. This is still, again, they're still right in the mix barely, but they've got some things they've got to correct. This is a team tonight that could have scored 40, should have scored 40. Should have easily scored 40. They left points out there. They've continued to leave points out there. In this NFL, you can't win a Super Bowl like that. So, as I said, not all bad in this one, but certainly frustrating and a devastating loss for the Steelers because it's felt like they really had this one in the bag. It opens the door now for the Ravens in that AFC North picture, and of course, that's something we're going to be talking about over the next couple weeks. There was hope that the Steelers could be locking up the division against the Oakland Raiders. Instead, now that's going to be, this is such a huge win, or this will be such a huge win for the Steelers if they get it against the Raiders, because it's one of their only truly winnable games left on their schedule. The Bengals in that finale being the other one, meaning that you've got a team that's 9-6-1, and then who knows what happens with the Patriots and Raiders. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow probably to talk more about this game right here on Locked On Steelers.